Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to The Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio. You're listening to
the healing rain is coming down. It's coming nearer to this old town. The rich and the poor, the weak and strong, it's bringing mercy. It won't be long. Healing rain is coming down. It's coming closer to the lost and found. Tears of joy and tears of shame are washed forever in Jesus' name.
Good morning and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. Music from Michael W. Smith's Healing Rain. One of these days, I'm going to play you the whole song. It is an incredible song of worship and healing that I'm sure that you will enjoy. Well, welcome to The Cross in the Desert, to the Thursday edition. We have a very, very special program today filled with lots of good interviews and reflections and thoughts as we pay tribute today to the Angel of Iran, and I'm speaking about Netta Sultan. We're going to talk a lot about Netta, who she is, what she means to Iranians, and why this day is so special. I want to mention to you, we're doing this broadcast today, June 19th. The actual International Netta Day is not until June 20th, but because of my work schedule, I could not fit it in that day, so I'm doing it today. And there's a special Facebook page dedicated to Netta on this very special day, International Netta Day, and you can find it under the title International Netta Day. But I want to spend some time reflecting on how Netta has changed my personal life as we pay this tribute to her today. What I want to do right now is catch us up on the happenings with Saeed Abedini, prisoner of Iran. Just this past weekend, Jordan Sekulow and Nagma were on Fox News, and I think this is very important. Before we do our tribute today, I want us to hear what's the latest with Saeed. So let's listen right now on The Cross in the Desert.
While Bo Bergdahl is now safe at home in the United States, innocent Americans are still being held overseas. American pastor Saeed Abedini has been held in Iran since 2012. Because of his Christian beliefs. With me now is the pastor's wife, Nachme Abedini, and her lawyer, Jordan Sekulow, of the American Center for Law and Justice. All right, Nachme, tell us about the latest developments with your husband this week.
Good evening, Judge. There was a team of religious leaders, I believe there was 30 of them, that went to Iran on end of May, and they, we know that they discussed Saeed and asked for clemency for him with the Iranian government.
All right. And what happened? What was the response? Who did they meet with?
We don't know. We know they said they met with the right people, and we don't know what the response was. It was a positive trip. But for me, it's been, and my two kids, my 7-year-old and my 6-year-old, has been such an emotional roller coaster. We're hopeful that this is a good sign. This means he will be released soon. But really, we've had such an emotional roller coaster of believing that he will be home soon and not seeing much. And our tomorrow is Father's Day. It's a very painful day for the kids and I. In a few weeks, end of this month, is our 10th year anniversary. And so really the only way for me to get through this emotional roller coaster and the news, the good news, bad news, beatings, tortures, is really my faith, keeping
when
my eyes on Jesus.
When you say beatings and tortures, he was in a hospital, but then he came out. Has he been tortured or beaten since then?
No, he did. He was, I think it was last month, he was taken from a hospital and beaten pretty badly in front of his family members, his parents who were there at the hospital with him. And he's been recovering since. His parents have been able to see him this last Wednesday, a few days ago, and he's recovering, but he was beaten up pretty badly with bruises and was not even able to get up the first week.
Is he still in the hospital or is he in prison?
No, he was beaten, taken from the hospital and put in prison.
All right. Jordan, who are
and
these
his,
spiritual
his family
advisors?
Visited him at the prison.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
And his family visited him at the prison
okay.
a couple of days ago.
All right, I'm
going
to go to Jordan. Who were the spiritual advisors who went to Iran to try to negotiate for her husband?
The lead is Pastor Joel Hunter. We've actually reached out to him through one of our Middle East experts at the ACLG, who does a lot of our international work, and have gotten some more information about the meeting, but he's being very private about that now because he's sharing it with the White House, President Obama. It's Joel Hunter. He's on a number of White House advisory councils. He's close to President Obama. He's given prayers at the inauguration of President Obama and done a lot of events. So he's someone that, again, it seems like the State Department blessed this judge, and that's good news because we needed more from our government. And I can tell people that over the next 2 weeks, the State Department has and is currently re-engaging this. I don't know if it took him being rearrested, but certainly there's something better happening.
Jordan, are you saying that the White House is sending the spiritual advisor to the president to negotiate for Nakhmeh's husband?
I don't think that they would say it that way, but the State Department did say that they bless in a release after this became public, which was the first we had heard about it, that they do bless these kind of efforts by members of a religious faith to try and bring dialogue. So it was certainly not something they had no clue about, whether or not they directed the pastor to do this or it just so happened to be, but they gave their blessing. And for us, as we are trying to get our government and hoping that their renewed engagement by voice has led to these possibly kind of renewed efforts to actively get Saeed back before a very key date, July 20th. That's when the nuclear deal is supposed to be done. Now, that could get extended, but if we're on that schedule, we've got about a month here to really where we're sitting across the table from the Iranians and can bring him home. And I have to thank you, Judge, for covering
this. Jordan, wouldn't you agree that it's up to the president if we're going to try to negotiate for nuclear considerations and not a religious leader who should be making these requests?
You know, sometimes what I'm hoping is they were getting a tone, a sense. This is my hopes and my prayers for what was gone here, and that when they get down to the negotiating table in the final month here, that they actually put something together. Because ultimately, what our State Department and the White House have to do is say, no deal, even if they've got everything else done, until this American is home.
Nakhmeh and Jordan, thanks so much.
That was Nakhmeh Abedini and Jordan Sekulow on Fox News this past weekend. And I have one word to our administration. It's not about nuclear rights. It's about human rights. And we will, here at the Cross in the Desert, continue to make this issue known all over the Internet until Saeed is home again with his wife and children. Paid in this by going to BeHeardProject.com and sign the petition if you've never done so before. But the fight and the struggle continues to bring Saeed and Amir Hekmati, and others home from Iran. Well, as I mentioned to you, this is a very special day. We're honoring Netta Sultan. And what I want to do before we get into the different interviews and documentaries about Netta, I want to give you a personal reflection on how Netta changed my life. This is a personal blog I wrote for Netta that I've given to her fiancé, Caspian. And I want to share this with you because it sums up in just a couple of minutes how Netta changed my life 5 years ago. On June 20th, 2009, the world witnessed the gruesome death of a young Iranian woman through a cell phone video. The video graphically showed a beautiful young woman lying on her back, bleeding in an alleyway in Tehran, and surrounded by friends desperately trying to save her life. Despite their heroic efforts, she tragically died after being fatally shot in the chest by a Basiji officer nearby. Through a two-minute video, the world was introduced to a young Iranian woman named Neda Sultan, who had joined thousands of other protesters in peacefully demonstrating the results of a corrupt presidential election in Iran. This intense and graphic video was literally the turning point in my life. Dramatic effect on me, as I did on the millions of others who watched it. I was in tears watching Neda gasping for life with her eyes wide open in fear. Something inside me snapped as I watched it. I immediately felt a calling to speak out for Iranians. I was outraged that their basic fundamental right to protest and disagree was being met with such violent opposition by an oppressive government. I was astonished to later discover that Neda's name means calling. It was then that I realized that God was using this video as a calling for me to be a voice for Iranians. And now, 5 years later, I have authored 6 books and written several blogs about the plight of Iranians for peace and freedom in their country. One of these books, The Rose of Nowruz, Dreams of Hopes and Freedom, is dedicated to Neda for her courage and conviction to be a voice for her people. I have been blessed to become a friend of Neda's fiance, Caspian Manak, a human rights spokesman living in Canada, and have shared my books with him. Caspian has dedicated his life to keep Neda's dream for a free Iran alive through postings, pictures, and articles on his webpage. The Rose of Nowruz is now being read on PDF files by many of my friends in Iran and giving them hope that one day, Neda's dream, a free Iran, will be more than just a dream, but a reality. In my book, Behera, a concert violinist, witnesses the Ghosti Irshad beating a woman outside of her apartment window because she wasn't wearing her hijab properly in public. It was this event in Behera's life that motivated her to be an activist and voice for her friends suffering under a corrupt regime. There's this special song in my book written by Behera, a song dedicated to the day when Iranians can once again walk down the streets of Tehran without fear. And as I remember Neda today, I want to share this song with you. These are words of hope dedicated to a woman who through her tragic sacrifice has illuminated the darkness of Iran with an eternal spirit of courage and freedom. There is a rose that was silenced, that was crushed, but it will grow again. The sun will shine again. You gave us hope, gave us freedom, gave us life. Your life will never end. The rose will live again. The sun is going to shine again. The rose is going to live again. Give me wings of freedom so I can fly. I want to fly high. I want to soar. Give me wings of freedom or let me die. I want to touch the sky. I want to soar. Dedicated to the angel of Iran, Neda Sultan. I want to take us to a live broadcast a couple of days after this tragic event. And I want you to hear it right now from The Cross in the Desert. This is from 2009.
The attention this morning, too, is focused on this woman, Neda, shot and killed by Iranian police during a recent protest, and her final moments captured in images sent around the world are distilling the conflict. Good morning. Welcome to CBC News Morning for this Tuesday. She is being called the fallen angel of freedom in Iran. Her name is Neda, and the video of her death on the streets of Tehran is putting a very human face on the post-election violence there. CBC News has spoken with a young man who's identified himself as her fiancé, and he gave us some details about his fallen bride-to-be. We pick up the story there with Nala Ayed, who's covering it from Beirut.
CBC News has spoken to a man who claims to be Neda's fiancé. His name is Caspian Makan. He told us a few things about her. He said she was 26-year-old, she had lots of friends, she was very caring and helpful, and she apparently also had dreams of coming to Canada. As you can see in the pictures, she does seem fairly liberal. She's not always wearing hijab. And some reports have said that she actually recently gave up religious lessons and took up piano lessons instead. And in fact, she was with her music teacher, this is what Caspian tells us, when the incident happened. Her fiancé also pointed out that she is not aligned to any of the parties to this dispute in Iran, not to Mousavi, the reformist, or Ahmadinejad, the current president, but was just someone who believed in democracy and basic rights and freedoms. In fact, he says that she was actually just stuck in traffic near this protest there and actually got out of the car purely to take a break or a breather, and that wasn't, she wasn't actually there to protest. And he said, in fact, that the two of them had argued about her being out during all this turbulence and had asked her to stay home to be safe. Her response apparently was that if a bullet were to hit her in the heart and kill her, it doesn't matter because as far as he's concerned, he says, she said that everyone has a purpose, and her purpose was freedom. Now, at the end of the conversation, he was offered condolences, but he said that he would not, she would not have wanted it that way, that her spirit was a happy one, and she would not have wanted people to be sad about her death.
Now, in the past 24 hours, she has really become the face of the Iran uprising. Give me a sense of the effect that the video of Neda's death is having on the people and on the protest there.
Well, Heather, she really has become a symbol for Iranians who believe that the crackdown against the protests has been unjust. So it has touched a nerve among them. It's really focused the anger there. If you look at some of the websites that have been keeping us informed about what's going on there, about the emotions and about the events, she really has become kind of, the video has become a rallying cry for these people. She's been called the fallen angel of freedom. And as you see today, one of the defeated candidates, as you mentioned, Karoubi, is now calling in protesters to mourn her and others who were killed in the protests. This is now planned for Thursday. So I would think that the growing opposition has been sort of emboldened by her killing, by this video, because it really appears that it is a clear example of a killing of an innocent bystander. Of course, as you know, Iran also has a very strong martyr culture, so she has become an icon, a rallying cry for those demanding change in the country. It's touched the nerve, not only inside Iran, but outside Iran. If you look at some of the websites that show her video, there's a question that's often being asked by Iranians and non-Iranians saying, how could an innocent bystander like this be killed in this way? What kind of government would allow such a tragedy to happen?
That is Nahla Ayed from Beirut this morning, beginning our coverage, and there is more to come on the story, too, in the...
That, of course, was during the violent protests of 2009, the tragic event of Neda. I'm sure Neda would have never wanted to become an icon. That certainly was never her intention. But because of who she was and what she represented, millions of Iranians have remembered her in so many ways. I think the best way to remember this day is to talk about who Neda is. But we also have to talk about the historical context of how this happened. And I found a great way to do it is to watch the PBS documentary, A Death in Tehran. It's really wonderfully made, very historical, very well put together. And I thought for our listeners today, it would be something good for you to understand a little bit of the background leading up to Neda's death, the culture, what was going on there, what was the mood of the Iranians, what was happening at the time Neda was killed. So what I want to do is I want to play this segment from the PBS documentary. It's about 10 minutes long, but it's worth the listen. So we're going to listen now to A Death in Tehran on the Cross in the Desert.
The Sijis had begun to open fire on protesters. Remarkably, Neda was caught on camera approaching the protests. She is seen beside her music teacher, a gray-haired man in a blue-striped shirt.
Neda was among the crowd, was standing there among the crowd where in front of the entourage, please. She was there with an older man, and she was very close to us, so I noticed her. Sometimes she shouted, "Death the dictator," or something. And her music teacher was trying to convince her that she should stay back. While she didn't really, she was very curious.
She called twice to say everywhere was full of special forces. She said there were many of them. She said it was very dangerous. My mom begged her to come back. She said that she would come back and started heading back towards her car.
And when we moved back into the alley, she and her music teacher started walking with us towards the end of the alley. 10 to 15 minutes before she was shot.
Our uncle was the last person who spoke to Neda. She told him that she was close to her car and would get back soon. But she never got to her car.
This video, taken on the street where Neda died, shows Basijis passing by on motorbikes and protesters throwing rocks late in the day.
That was when we hear the blast. And from in front of us, and everybody was just a bit shocked. I asked, "What was that? Was it a gunshot?" Another friend all of a sudden told me that, "Look at this girl, she's vomiting blood," and I saw that she wasn't vomiting blood; it was blood gushing out of her chest.
Dr. Hejazi tried to stop the bleeding, but it was too late.
The extent of the blood, the bleeding, and the pressure of the bleeding indicated instantly to me that her aorta was shot, and her lung as well, because the blood had been flowing through her nose and mouth as well, so her lung was shot as well, and she died very quickly. Then I realized that a crowd was pulling someone towards us, and the mad person was shouting that I didn't want to kill her, and the shout were starting, the people were starting to beat him, and they took off his clothes and his shirt. Then they started discussing what to do with him. They searched his body, they took out his wallet, they took out his ID cards, and started shouting, he's a Basij member, he's one of them. They couldn't give him to the police, they believed, that because they, first of all, they would expose themselves, which was extremely dangerous on that day. And also they didn't believe that the police would do anything to him, because the Basij is very powerful and he would easily have gone away. And so all of a sudden, in the chaos, they decided to release him.
This ID card, confirmed by Dr. Hejazi as the Basiji at the scene, was later released onto the internet. It identifies him as a Basiji with a 3-day license to operate in Tehran from the Revolutionary Guard. His name and phone number were published too. The number has since been disconnected.
When my father opened the door and saw me full in blood, he thought that something had happened to me and he was scared. I answered with very short sentences, without explaining much. And then they turned on the TV, and then it was CNN, and we saw that the film was being showing there with me in it.
This is disturbing. I want everyone to know that. But and we have blurred out her face out of respect. But this is possibly the most seen piece of video out of Iran in the world today.
At the same time, I realized that, okay, I'm there. My face is evident. This gives me some leverage that I can testify for this incident someday.
It would take just a few hours for Netta's video to spread across the world, and a few days more before it helped transform world opinion.
You've seen this video. What is your reaction?
It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. And I think that anybody who sees it knows that there's something fundamentally unjust about that.
The Iranian government admits 11 protesters were killed on June 20th. But doctors from three Tehran hospitals confirmed at least 34. Other bodies were buried by security forces before they could be identified. Netta was buried without ceremony. When they tried to hold a memorial, Netta's sister told us that the authorities prevented them.
We were not allowed to hold a wake in her memory. We weren't allowed to put up a notice on a local board to announce her death. None of the mosques would take us. None of the halls or restaurants would give us a place to hold a ceremony in Netta's memory. They wouldn't let us.
Netta's boyfriend, Caspian Makan, was distraught and angry. He decided to speak out to satellite TV stations overseas.
How did you find out about the death of Netta?
My phone rang, and the screen said, Netta. I was expecting to hear her voice, but it was her sister saying she left us. She was targeted deliberately, even though you can clearly see she didn't have a stone in her hand. I don't know what the Iranian authorities have to say about this. Do they have anything to say about this?
Not long after, Caspian called his friend Delbar.
I saw his number and answered it. He sounded very hushed. It was obvious he had his hand next to the speaker so the others wouldn't hear. He told me in a whisper, "They are by my house. They have come to get me."
Caspian was taken to Evin prison, although the authorities didn't confirm his arrest for 6 weeks.
I have not heard what precisely they have stated as the reason for his arrest. But from what I have read myself in the news, they are accusing him of somehow being involved in the murder. And this is just not the case.
The regime tried to repair the damage done to its reputation and contain the sympathy for Netta and the protesters.
About this woman who was killed, and Obama who sheds crocodile tears for her, and the West makes a star out of her. Any wise person who sees this film would understand this was done by rioters and protesters.
Fars News blamed a BBC correspondent, saying he'd staged the death for a documentary.
What you're listening to there is the PBS documentary, just a few months, that was filmed and put together after Netta's tragic death. It's called The Death in Tehran. I think it's really well done. You really owe it to yourself to watch this whole film. It is powerful. It is historical. The scenes on the film really, really drive home the point about what happened during this disputed election and, of course, the very sad, tragic death of Netta. What I would like for my listeners to do if they have an opportunity on Facebook today is to go to a particular page. It's called June 20th, International Netta Day. June 20th, International Netta Day. You just type that in. This is a page where you can post your reflections about Netta. If you've just learned about her, which I find it hard to believe because this video was seen by millions, Netta is so well recognized, really, literally all over the world. But if this is something new for you, and maybe you're touched by this, and maybe you want to say something, this is a good page to come to. It's administrated by Caspian Menach, her fiance, and it's a page where they have some postings that are in Farsi as well as English. But go to this page and post your reflections, your comments, and the things that you would like to say in remembering Netta. Now, tomorrow, like I mentioned, is the official day, official International Netta Day. But today, because of my time constraints, I have opted to do my program today. But it doesn't matter. Go to this page. Post your thoughts, your feelings, and your emotions about Netta. As I mentioned before, a very important book that I wrote, The Rose of Nowruz, was dedicated to three Iranian women freedom fighters, Mehera Hadea, Nazrin Satouda, and, of course, Netta Sultan. And what I want to is read to you just a couple of paragraphs about this book that I wrote, The Rose of Nowruz, and the dedication I had on the opening pages. And here's what I had to say about Netta. You are about to take a journey. You are about to walk in the shoes of an Iranian and see through their eyes what life looks like and feels like every day under strict Sharia law. Since the revolution of 1979, when the Shah was removed and the Ayatollahs began to rule, Iran has experienced a total transformation. The freedom to believe, to think, and to disagree and protest is now a thing of the past. The government now does its thinking and believing for you. In the famous Gettysburg Address given over a century ago during the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln declared that true government is, quote, of the people, by the people, and for the people. This is the government I pray that my Iranian friends can one day experience. Some of them have come here on work-study visas and are in awe of our government and the freedoms that you and I enjoy and take for granted. They want to stay with us and have the freedom to live a real life without fear and oppression. 3 years ago, during a bloody, disputed election, Netta Sultan was gunned down during a protest. The whole world watched in horror the video of her bleeding and dying in the streets of Tehran. In Persian, the name Netta means, quote, voice calling. I pray that we never stop hearing her voice. She is calling on us to pray and to speak out for all Iranians. Do you hear her voice? If you do, please join me on the journey of a lifetime by reading my book. My prayer is that you will join me in the cause for a free Iran. You know, the most important thing to me when I get up on the Internet is talking to my friends in Iran. I had the opportunity just a couple of nights ago to talk to a really dear friend. She lives in Mashhad. And when she found out I was doing this program about Netta, we're on Skype, remember? You should see her face. Just a sadness came over her, and she just began to weep. She really loved Netta, and she loved for who she was and what she stood for. And she said to me, you know, Randy, I feel the pain of her family. I try to put myself in their place, what they're feeling when they think about this day. And she said, I want to write something about Netta. And she did. She wrote her reflections down. And what I'm going to read to you comes from the heart of an Iranian who remembered this day 5 years ago and continues to grieve about her death. And this is my dear Iranian friend, and this is what she wrote, her poem for Netta. Those that we love don't go away. They walk beside us every day, unseen, unheard, but always near. May you rest in peace, Netta. 20th of June each year brings tears to our eyes, always thinking about you. But you are so lucky. You have God there. You feel him. God invited you beside him. But we have to stay here and struggle with these animals. Hope you be in peace. I love you, Angel. A very touching little tribute to Netta for my Iranian friend, and I wanted to share that with you today. I have something very special, a poem written and produced by a Dr. Rafi Habib. It's a poem for Netta as we pay tribute to her today on the cross in the desert.
This poem is called A Poem for Netta. Netta was a young woman who was shot by the Iranian militia during the recent election protests, and she was killed on the 20th of June of 2009. And this poem commemorates not only her courage, but the courage and spirit of all those in Iran who have striven for freedom. And the Persian word Neda means voice. A poem for Neda. Neda, sweet voice of freedom, unborn. Your state totters, a color revolution. Green for life of reason, faith. Red for blood, the price you paid. And you have shown your color, you whose voices rise above your people, who cast your black sky over all voices, who hide behind batons, water, tear gas, who cringe behind your flag. Tears will find you out. And you too show your color, who flirt with freedom's name, who smile unshamed as tyrants old or new play your cards for you. Tears will blind your smiles. You who love your daughters, sons, let the green of earth be your color. Let your love give birth to the Islam which your poets dreamed. Let your voice which sang before of golden Persia in Sadi, Hafiz, Rumi, now return to sing our future. Let your sweet voice sing from the cold earth of sweet democracy, buried in its birth, dreaming to be born. Daughter, sweet voice of the new Iran, Neda.
Dr. Rafi Habib, and a very touching poem for Netta. One of the things that the PBS documentary points out is that Netta was never really into the political thing. But because of the results of this election in 2009, she felt a need to do something about it, to be a voice for her Iranians. And you know, it's so unique. I know I say this a lot, but her name literally means voice calling. And because of the ultimate sacrifice of her death, she has inspired millions. Many, many Iranians would show pictures of her and put these pictures over their face and walk down the streets of Tehran. And when you see these videos and these still photographs of the tribute to Netta, it's really, really beautiful, the outpouring of love and support. She became a symbol of hope and freedom. Now, again, Netta never went out on that day, ever intending for something like this to happen because of her. But because of her courage, because of her convictions for freedom in Iran, and because she wasn't thinking of herself but her family, her friends, those she lived and worked with every day, she was thinking about their future, as many other protesters who went out during that bloody, bloody post-election violent time. But Netta became that symbol of hope because she's an ordinary person like you and me that decided that this is wrong and something must be said. And taking the risk that she took, she went out that day. And because of that, Iran is really a better place because of her, because there is hope once again. And there is a real dedication to fight this government once again. And because of what Netta accomplished on that day, that ordinary day that became a day that has transformed many, many lives, including myself. But thinking back to that day, I want to also take just a couple of minutes to read you the story of one of my Iranian friends who's now in Italy on a work study. And just this past March, I asked her to tell me the story of what happened to her during this bloody violent time in 2009, talking about today. And she wrote this short story of her experience. And because we're thinking back to 5 years ago and remembering Netta, I want to bring some context into this. And I want you to hear the story of my Iranian friend. This is what she wrote that happened to her during the time that Netta was killed. It was early in the morning when my sister and I left home to join thousands of people protesting against the election result, which announced Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the future president of my country, for 4 more years. The result had made most people shocked. They couldn't believe this would be possible. There were incredibly large crowds of people on the street marching silently. We were wearing green bands around our wrist to show we supported the green movement. Just after Imam Hussein Square, at the beginning of Englehab Avenue, my sister and I were surrounded by some ordinary-looking guys, most probably Basijis, who told us just to follow them quietly and not to say even a word. We tried to escape, but we just failed since they appeared many more of them approaching us. Unbelievable. I was frightened to death, but my sister whispered repeatedly, "Do not be afraid. Be strong. They cannot do anything. They are just a number of cowards." So we followed them to a mosque where they handcuffed us, forced us to wear blindfolds, and then carried us in a van to another place, which I have no idea where it was. I remember they took us downstairs and told us to sit down on the floor and wait to be questioned by their boss and another guy. It just wasn't me and my sister. We could feel there were some other people there too, all in complete silence, since we had been threatened that if we talked, we would be in grave danger. I still had the green band on my wrist, so I asked if I could go to the restroom to get rid of it. I was unable to remove the blindfold and with difficulty untied the band. As soon as I came out, I heard a woman saying, "You have been wearing a green band? We will keep it as a record in your document." I thought to myself, "Oh, God, I'll be executed or put in jail for the rest of my life." After a while, they took me to be questioned. The questioning was terribly ridiculous. Their boss asked me a question, and not caring what my answer was, just insisted I agreed with his answer, which was admitting that social networks like Facebook had played a key role in informing us the demonstration time and venue, emphasizing this way it would be easier for me to be released soon. Anyways, after 2 or 3 hours there, they took us to a building inside, which I could hear lots of people talking, complaining, and begging the officers to release them. I could hear a mom say, "Keep me here, but please let my daughter go." There again, there was the questioning scenario. After 3 or 4 hours, they took us in a minibus to Evin Prison. Some Afghan guys had been arrested too. The way the Bazijis treated them was totally disgraceful. They kicked them and told them, "You Afghans, you are not even humans. What are you doing in Iran? How dare you go on a strike in a country where you illegally reside in?" The sound of kicking them brutally was intolerable, but we had to remain completely silent. In Evin Prison, they removed the handcuffs and blindfolds and forced us to sign a lot of papers and give them all the personal information, including the emails, IDs, and passwords, which took about 4 or 5 hours. Eventually, not knowing what they intended to do next, we were carried in a van to a place and told we could go home. I felt relieved, but couldn't believe this was real. It was midnight and very hard to find a taxi. Worst of all, my sister and I didn't have any money with us because we had no idea this would happen. We planned to go back home on foot. Fortunately, there were some other girls with us who, when we got home, we saw that our mom, dad, eldest sister, and brother-in-law had been waiting for us worriedly. They didn't know what had happened to us and had prayed we would return home safe and sound. That was an awful experience of my life, lasting 12 hours from midday to midnight. Sadly, this experience has resulted in the death, imprisonment, and torture of a lot of people, mostly university students like our dear Netta. I am so sorry that my beloved homeland Persia, once glorious in history, now has to face killing and torture of her dear children. This is so well written by my dear friend, and I'm so grateful and glad that she took the time to write this. I'm very happy for her that she is not in Iran, that she's in another country enjoying a work-study time. She's just a beautiful, beautiful person, and she dedicated this little experience to the memory of Netta, which we are talking about today. She pointed out rightly there are many, many more people still in prison from that day. In fact, the opponent to Ahmadinejad, Mousavi, who ran against him, is still under house arrest. So much hurt, so much heartache and pain still with us from this horrible day 5 years ago, and it's just continuing as Iranians fight every day for their freedom. I want to play a very, very touching song right now, so well produced, creating the back to Netta's death. This is a song called Netta's Eyes, performed by Susan Dayhem, right here on the cross in the desert. Let's listen together.
Why, you ask, these freedom fighters die each day, their heads held high. Tyrants and dictators, they come from every nation. Their evil never questions, their evil comes to lie. Like Joan of Arc died, they murdered young, beautiful Netta. The world should know how this freedom fighter died. Freedom is the one thing we have to die for. Freedom fighters doing what they can.
Woman of faith can be so strong. Her voice inside will carry on.
It's a privilege that we fight to die for. Freedom we don't take for granted no more.
Why did she have to go this way?
In every nation there must be freedom to fight this evil, but its ugly head held high.
A woman the world should know her name. Never die, you ask us why. Never die, the freedom fighter.
Freedom, freedom, freedom.
She should know why she died for the world.
a new thing. Tyrants are not a new thing. Before Ahmadinejad was Saddam Hussein, King Jamil, Milosevic, and of course the devil, each of whom had their own scheme.
And there you heard it, On the Cross in the Desert. This is a song performed by Susan Dayham called Netta's Eyes. You know, Netta has inspired a lot of people. She's changed a lot of lives, and poems and songs that are dedicated to her. I found this really interesting song on the International Day for Netta page, and I want to share this with you. It's called Netta, and it's got a great message to us here on the Cross in the Desert. It's performed by 1,000 Days. Let's listen.
Thank you.
به امید روز آزادی.
That is a group known as Thousand Days performing their song. It's simply called Netta. As I mentioned before, many songs have been written to give a tribute to Netta, to dedicate in music her accomplishments for being just an ordinary Iranian girl, but her death has life-transforming ramifications. And it's been a symbol of hope and freedom for Iran, just like the dedication in my book. I found this really nice poem for Netta. It was written just 3 days after her death by a Pamela Levy. And she writes, Netta Aga Sultan died Saturday in Iran. She was an Iranian student who was shot by a single bullet amid the protests following the Iranian elections. And here's what she wrote for Netta. It says here, a poem for Netta written by Mandana. Stay, Netta, the twittering birds, green garb forests, scented blossoms all sing of spring's arrival. Don't go, Netta. Stay, Netta. Sing with your people in the streets. Say, long live life, down with death. Tell the sun to shine, the cold to depart. Don't go, Netta. Stay, Netta. Look at the city, at the shaken foundation of palaces, the height of Tehran's maple trees. They call us dust, and if so, let us sully the air for the oppressor. Don't go, Netta. Don't be afraid. It is the sound of fireworks, not bullets, the offspring sparks of a great flame. We are a flame, fueled by baton cracks and gunshots. We are ablaze. Don't go, Netta. Oh, Netta, Netta, breathe. Rise. Shatter the cage. Break through the bars. Don't go, Netta. Don't go, Netta. Wait. Look beyond the clouds. Lady Sun is breaking through. She is just like you. Don't go, Netta. Oh, God. Some really beautiful words dedicated to Netta, and this has been my goal today on the cross in the desert. I want to thank you so much for joining me today for this special tribute to an amazing lady who has changed my life, Netta Sultan. If you want to be my friend on Facebook, please come to my Facebook page and friend request me at Randy L. Noble, and you will see my page is dedicated to the peace and freedom of all Iranians. There are many, many postings on my page, many, many petitions that you can be involved in by signing and be a voice for the voiceless. This truly has been a very special day, and I pray that you will go to the International Netta page and put down your thoughts about this program. Put down, more importantly, your thoughts about who Netta is and what she stood for. It's important that Iranians are reminded constantly of the price she paid for their freedom. I want to say God bless you, everyone. Thank you for joining me on this special Cross in the Desert. I will see you again on Monday. Have an incredible week.
Healing rain is coming down, is coming nearer to this old town, to this old town. Rich and poor, weak and strong, it's bringing mercy, it won't be long.